I can't seem to do it, Emily. Is there something amiss with the instrument?
Try again.
Charming. Wouldn't win a look at a harlot's ankle like this.
Just blow over the hole.
The devil. What do you think you're looking at? Get out of it. Damn Jacobins, a lot of you. Look, Emily, this is ridiculous. Perhaps I should try a different instrument.
Listen to this C on my violin and try to copy it on your flute.
Whatever you say. My good chap is obviously hopeless. No wonder you have a girl and I do not. How in the devil's name does one come to play a sublime note like yours?
I just play it. That's all.
But that's not all, is it? Even my English cloth ears, I can hear that C is no ordinary C. It's so beautiful, it's almost frightening. So what are you doing or thinking of to make you play that kind of concentration?
You really want to know, Mr. Buckingham?
Of course I do.
I wonder. When I pick up my fiddle, I don't really think of anything. But I know that every good C I play is a flashback of a C I was forced to play years ago at sea.
Go on.
It's hard to tell it all. But quite a few years ago, I was what you call in press into service for your British Navy. One night in Lisbon, a lieutenant knocked me out with a punch to the back of my head and carried me to his frigate, HMS Indefatigable. By the time I was kicked awake, we were out in the Atlantic, and I'd become number 316 of the ship's crew. I came to find myself confronted by a dozen grotesque, angry, brutish, unpitying faces. Two sailors pulled me to my feet, and one other thrust my violin at me. They were shouting English. I didn't know English then, of course. But I soon picked up the word play. I understood quickly enough that they wanted someone on board to play in the jigs, hornpipes and reels. But I wanted to go back to the opera. I felt sick of their faces and their ships, and I told them so with a spit. And then I felt something against my head. I knew it was a pistol. I didn't have to look. And a lieutenant holding the pistol told me to play beautifully, like I did at the opera. So I did, in a way I'd never done before and never quite repeated since. Every C is an echo. An attempt to repeat the C with which I began that first hornpipe. Of course, I was casting pearls before swine, if you'll excuse my application of such an expression to your British Navy. By the time we reached the Mediterranean, I'd realized that I could have played how I wanted. Every single man on board, from the lowest rating to commander, being musically deaf and no more able to distinguish between different notes than swine, had realized I'd been wasting precious notes on them, and even great violinists can't afford that. From then on, I'd often purposely play scratching and screeching nonsense on my violin, watching them all jig to it merrily. They had no idea, and knowing of their musical stupidity made their stupidity of their lashings easier to bear.
Of course, as an Englishman, I find it distasteful hearing you, a Negro, abuse our Navy's white Nelsons. It was different then. Everyone was a patriot. It was against the law not to be. But My distaste was overcome by a peculiar feeling of fascination, of curiosity. I could hardly believe it of myself, and felt almost blackened by this fascination. No one was ever curious about niggers. They were just there. They had no histories, no stories to tell. Or so I'd thought. Suddenly, the music lessons weren't just sources of pleasure, but were profoundly disturbing to me as well. But I knew I wouldn't stop. They and you had impressed me into some sort of strange service from which I couldn't desert. A few weeks later, I went to a grand miscellaneous concert and ball of yours at Wynn's Hotel. Do you remember it? You played a violin concerto of your own writing, an exquisite, quietly happy piece. A piece so quiet, in fact, that I can't hear it anymore, even in my head. The concert finished, though, with a beautiful rendition of a concerto by Mozart. And that I can recall.